welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast. I am Jessica. I'm your host today, and I'm here with author Rebecca Keller of the book You Should Have Known, which is fabulous, and a really interesting thriller with a really interesting setting. So I'm just going to start off by letting you introduce yourself and discuss You Should Have Known in your best work, from your point of view, in your best words.
In my best words. So You Should Have Known, in a nutshell, sort of the elevator speech, centers a woman named Franny Green, who's a retired nurse, and who's in her early 70s. And her kids convince her to move into an assisted living facility. And I think that's, you know, in some ways, the setting is almost another character in the book. I don't think there's many books set in a place like that. And we can talk more about the setting later, but it really struck me as an interesting, it had a lot of potential when I decided to do that. So Franny moves in and she meets a woman named Catherine and she becomes friends. And she finds herself thinking that this might be the last new friendship she makes in her life. And Catherine's very different than her, but they find, you know, a lot, they enjoy one another's company, until one day Franny realizes she meets Catherine's husband. And it turns out that Catherine's husband is the corrupt judge who is to blame for the death of Franny's granddaughter and the coming apart of her family. So what happens from there forms the book.
Yeah. So like you were saying, first of all, I don't think I have read another thriller specifically set in an assisted living. And, you know, assisted living is, I think in a way, it's a very modern phenomenon. You know, I first came in contact with it a while back. My grandparents moved into assisted living, and I wasn't really sure what to expect when I went to visit them the first time. And it was just sort of like this real interesting in-between state.
Right.
You know, it's like, I don't, it's not bad. It's not a bad place, but I could also see, especially having had a father who he didn't end up in assisted living. That's a whole other story I don't want to get into, but he did, you know, for a while we were kind of trying to get him to accept that this was a good place for him. And it is, like I was saying, an in-between state. I could see why somebody might consider it almost like a purgatory, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like,
right.
Your kids are telling you this is great. You'll meet people. There's activities. Your food gets served to you. And you really want to live independently. But it just kind of feels like you're not. It feels, I don't know, different. So I really liked, first of all, Franny has a wonderful voice. She is a retired medical worker.
She's a retired nurse.
Yes. Retired nurse. And, you know, I mean, she lost her husband 6 years prior to the book. And she's not, you know, she's not really ready to not live independently. And the way she's looking at this, it's not independent, you know, but at the same time, she fell and her kids have some very valid concerns about her safety. So, you know, this is kind of the setup for her character. And you also find out very early on about the tragedy that her granddaughter Bethany was killed. And it's really upset, you know, the fabric of her whole family. Her daughter Iris has never been the same since. You know, and another thing I really kind of wanted to bring up, which I really liked just about the family in general, is Franny's love for her children and her grandchildren is apparent. But I respect, especially having been there, you know, her children also don't want her to just focus on them. They want her to find joy outside of them, because it is a lot of pressure when you, an adult child, are your parents' key thing of joy. So there's a lot of just real life things going on, which was great. And then you have the plot, and then you have the mystery and the thriller and the, you know, the rest of it, where Franny realizes that her new friend's husband is this person who is not great and not, you know, admirable, and pretty much ruins the fabric of her family. And she gets some ideas. First of all, so Franny and Catherine as a dynamic, you know, who did Franny come first? Her voice was so strong.
Franny came first. Yes, Franny came first. And before we get into the dynamic, I just want to pick up on something you said about Franny and Iris. And it, in my mind, it kind of worked both ways, in that Franny, you know, Iris was so destroyed by her daughter's death that she, you know, it changed every relationship she had, including with her own mother, with Franny. And it wasn't until Franny became more vulnerable that she and Iris were able to reconnect in a way. And I think, as much as Iris doesn't want Franny just to focus on her, Franny does not want Iris just to focus on her. I think there's a lot of sort of, and they love one another so clearly, and they're so clearly protective of one another. But I think they sometimes also roll their eyes with one another, like, you know, I'm fine. I'm fine. Leave me alone. And I think that that's one of the an interesting dynamic, is this mother daughter. It goes both ways. You know, sort of like a push pull.
Yeah, no, I got that. And, you know, I mean, I think mother son, I mean, I don't want to be genderist or whatever.
Right.
But mother son relationships and mother daughter relationships, you know, they can be very different. There is no one size fits all.
They are in this book. They're all loving.
For sure.
But they're different.
100%. And, you know, it made me think a lot about, you know, like me and my brother, and sort of how we related to our parents. And yeah, it was, it, like I said, it was really, really just well fleshed out. It felt so real, which only added to how great the whole plot was, because you really, like, these are people that you know. And then, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but Franny has some feelings.
Right.
And also, I want to just really quickly, like, I really like the opening of the book, where she just kind of talks about how people look at people who are older, you know, like, oh, you're supposed to forget, and you're supposed, you know, you're supposed to be forgetful, you're supposed to be this. And she's just like, no, you remember a lot, you know, and I do think there is just a lot of looks, like looking at people who are older, and, you know, a lot of assumptions are made. But yes, so about Franny and Catherine's relationship.
So, I mean, I think Franny is amazed to find herself interested in friendship with this woman, because they're very different. And I think at one point, you know, and Catherine is a sort of, you know, grew up in a kind of pampered daughter of a banker. You know, she grew up in the South, you know, very, very kind of magnolia scented childhood. And of course, Catherine is in her 80s. So we're talking, you know, a while ago when she was growing up. And she grew up with some privilege, and she married a man who had money, and kind of, you know, had a very junior league luncheon kind of life. And Franny, you know, grew up without much money at all, in a farm in North Dakota, with, you know, not a lot of prospects, and pretty much different kind of outlook. And And I think at one point she even says that she's not proud of it, but she's always looked down a little bit at women like Catherine, you know, as kind of these privileged, pampered, you know, ladies who lunch. And Franny was so not that. It really made her own way, became a professional in a time when it was not that easy, and a working mom in a time when it was really not that easy. So I think she finds herself quite amazed that she is feeling a pretty, you know, real sense of friendship for Catherine, despite everything.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, another thing, and this will kind of bring me a little bit to the setting, is just this idea, you know, Franny says several times things like, you know, I'm going to end up here with everybody I've ever had a fight in the library with. You know, like I'd mentioned, assisted living was really, like, it seemed very remote when my grandparents started it, which was probably about 2006. I had never heard of an assisted living home before. And, you know, I go there and I'm just like, oh, okay.
Because they're nice places often.
Very, very nice.
In a nice place. She has her own apartment. It's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, really, you know, and but at the same time, it is also sort of like, for lack of a better phrase, like a dorm for older people. And you're sort of set in to this situation where you have to, you know, you have to start making friends with people. You have all new neighbors. They're not the neighbors in your neighborhood that you could just shut the door. These are people you live with. So I liked, you know, I liked that aspect of it. But what I really liked was that, yeah, Franny does meet somebody who, you know, but it wasn't the person she got into an argument with at a library. Right. It was somebody who really, like, is not a great person. And also, you know, she kind of, you always, like, have those friends where they're in a relationship and you kind of wonder, oh, the spouse.
What do they see in them?
Yeah, what do they see in them? You know, and you're like, do I tell them? Do I just let this run its course? Right. And it's different when this person is literally living with you and your spouse or your partner, who you could turn around to and be like, oh my, did you hear what he said to her? It's not there. Right. So that added something to it as well.
Yeah. I mean, the whole, you're right. I mean, there's a reason that so many books are set in closed or semi-closed settings, you know, middle schools, dormitories, boarding houses, little teeny towns, because everybody knows one, everybody's in one another's business. People know stuff about one another's history. You may not realize what somebody knows about you or what, and they may not realize what you know about them. And in this case, of course, you know, this is a relatively small town outside Chicago where people have histories. And they also, who knows how accurate their memories are. And so they're in this, you know, a enclosed setting. And of course they can leave. It's not a prison, but it's, you know, it has all those same aspects of a semi-closed circle where you can't avoid bumping into stories that you might not, you know, that you otherwise could just close the door on. And the thing about Catherine and her husband that you mentioned, you know, the other thing that this brings up is Catherine's complicity. That, you know, Franny loves this woman, they're friends, but she also increasingly thinks Catherine had to have known. She benefited from this man's corruption. How could she not have known, other than an act of willful ignorance, willful blindness at what her husband really was? And that makes things very uncomfortable for her.
So another thing I kind of wanted to touch upon also, before I sort of get back to just sort of the plot, is, and it is part of the plot, the staff at the assisted living are also very strong characters. And that rang very true again. You do see that residents will, they'll take a liking to certain people, and certain people will take a liking to them. But they're not really able to be friends with the residents.
Right.
Now, is that true?
Well, I think, I think at one point Franny says she is observing. It's, I think, the very first time that she and Catherine go to lunch together. And Catherine is very comfortable, stating her desires to the staff. And Franny has not yet cracked this nut because she never had household help as Catherine did. And she, I think she states that she's uncomfortable with the kind of hierarchies of, because they work for the residents, but not directly for the residents. They're not her employee. And yet they may, occasionally get come to know her intimately. And so she's having trouble calibrating, and she likes them. She sees herself in them because she was a, when she was learning to be a nurse, some of the tasks that these people have to do were similar to what she had to do. So she likes them. She sees herself in them. She's a kind person, and she is interested in them. And because they're young, she wants to have a friendly relationship, and she wants to help. But there's a certain kind of distance that has to be maintained, because it just sort of has to be for things to go well. And of course, these people have lives, they have kids, they're busy, and as kind as they are to her, they're not like looking to be to befriend everyone that lives in the apartments.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I wanted to know also about, like, so how do you plot? Did you know all the twists and turns before you were writing, or did you just sort of sit down and suddenly you were taking left turns and right turns and you're just like, oh, this is coming in from
Yeah,
there?
I mean, there's that thing that the writers are often asked, are you a planner or a pantser? I'm definitely a pantser. I just sort of, I wanted there to be. I started with the idea of someone who was essentially a good person, at the moment where they step off the straight and narrow, and act on their worst impulse, which is what happens to Franny. And that was even before the setting. And so I started thinking about what kind of situation might I create in which that could happen more easily. And you mentioned the invisibility of older people, especially old women. And that came to me as an answer, that someone who is older, first of all, they might feel like, I don't care. I can do what I feel like I need to do to get justice. What are they going to do to me? And also, I'm invisible, so I'm not likely to get caught. And those two things were in operation for her. So I once I decided I wanted, somebody who was a strong character who might feel like they could, be tempted, and part of that being tempted is that they could maybe, they felt kind of entitled to it. Maybe they were just sick of it their whole life, having had to swallow the injustice that she felt she had to swallow. So she just sort of, breaks with her own moral compass and then really pays the price. She is, her conscience torments, she's tormented by what happened. And of course, everything went wrong. What she
Yeah.
planned on did not happen.
Yes. It was so, again, this is a really good read. Really, like, it was a page turner. It had a really wonderful protagonist. It had a protagonist. Franny was in, now I'm trying to remember, in her 70s, if I
Yes.
recall. You
Yeah,
know, it
in the
had a
70s.
protagonist in her 70s, who with a wonderful voice, a very, like a very universal voice. And it was just a re it was really, really, really good. What it, so Are you writing another book at the moment? Are
I
you?
am. I am. Well, and to get back to the plot thing, I had these kind of things I wanted to have happen, but to make all the pieces line up and then to make them interesting, and then I really didn't want it to be only about plot. I wanted there to be character. And for there to be character development, you have to give them something to do, right? There has to be right? Some way to reveal their character, a reason to have dialogue that has consequences, that is consequential. So little by little, those sort of things started to happen. And once I kind of started these wheels in motion, then I had to make them line up, which is not simple. I mean, it took me some, oh, wait, that doesn't shoot. But they have to be two places at once, don't they? Dealing with that. So I did not plan any of that out. It just sort of evolved, and I just sort of kept tweaking and rearranging. In terms of what I'm working on now, I finished this book quite some, you should have known, quite some time ago, and was not having a lot of luck finding anybody to publish it. I can't tell you, I know. And it's gotten great
It's
reviews.
so good. Publishers, what were you thinking?
Well, agents, I was trying to get agents, right?
Agents.
And I cannot tell you how many agents said to me, I love this book, but I just don't think I can sell a book with an older protagonist, which struck me as a really a failure of imagination. Like how,
On their
and
part, I
yes.
hope, not on your
Yes.
part,
No,
because
on their
it
part.
was
Like,
refreshing.
who reads book? I mean, who older people read books, and their daughter, who is a significant part of this, w women in their 40s and 50s are the biggest book buying public. And I just was kind of astonished, but I can't tell you how many times I heard that. So I got a lot of rejections. I mean, a lot of rejections, almost a year's worth of rejections. And in the meantime, I was thinking, well, I've learned a lot. It won some awards for work in progress. It won the first chapter award from Novel Slice. So I knew that I was a capable writer. And so I thought, okay, I'll just apply what I've learned to the next one and just figure this was close but no cigar, because there was a lot of interest, but no, as they say, I was dating, but nobody put a ring on it, there was a lot of interest, but no one willing to take it on. And then December of like 2021, I sent it to the publisher who published it without an agent. It's an unagented submission, which doesn't happen all that often. And the editor got back to me, and within a few weeks offered me a contract. So the publisher saw the potential, but agents weren't, there were no agents willing to take a work at it.
Wow.
So once that happened, but I had already begun and was quite deeply into this other manuscript that I'm working on. But I haven't, in all honesty, the last month or two have been so busy with getting this book ready for publication and then getting it out into the world, that I have not been able to spend a lot of time on the one that I've been working on. And several people have said to me, would you consider a sequel, another book with a different one of the other characters from You Should Have Known? Yeah.
I'd read that.
Good,
Seriously,
because I may write one. I'll need to talk to the publisher and see what they think, but
no. So I just want to thank you so much for joining us. I just there's so much in this plot. It's so good and it's so juicy, and I don't really care what age you're at. I really think this is a really good book. Not only that, but I know that people talk about what constitutes a quote unquote book club book. I
right.
don't think this is your traditional book club book. Like, we're not talking, I don't know, like a Dr. Phil and Oprah pick or whatever.
Right, right.
But I think, which I think traditionally is what people say is a book club book. But I think it is a book club book because there's so much in here. And it's something that I think could be a really good book for parent for mothers and daughters to read together, you know, mothers and daughters who like thrillers. It's there's just a lot, and it's got something for everyone. And I want to thank you for chatting with us about it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
So once again, this is Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast. Our guest today was,
Rebecca Keller with You Should Have Known.
and we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.